welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, what an absolute pleasure and a treat it is to welcome you to Just a Minute. Time, of course, to introduce you to the four magnificent human beings who'll be playing along with me this evening, and they are Paul Merton, Josie Lawrence, Ivo Graham, and Felicity Ward. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. In classic fashion, I'm going to ask them to speak on any subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating. So we shall see how they all get along. And Paul,
yes.
We're going to start with you, please, if we might. And the subject for you is, oh, wonderful, whodunit. Can you speak for 1 minute on the subject of whodunit, starting now?
It's generally acknowledged that the first detective story was written by Edgar Allan Poe, The Murders in the Rue Morgue. Murder is often a case of a case.
Felicity.
Repetition.
It was a double case.
It was a double case.
And you solved it.
Yeah.
Dynamit. Which means it's a successful challenge. You've got 50 seconds on the clock to tell us about whodunit, and your time starts now.
Ooh, whodunit. Very different to whoever smelt it, dealt it. Whodunit is, I assume...
Juicy.
I was being really nasty then, but I thought there was a slight hesitation.
There was a slight hesitation. It fits the game.
Feel good, does it, Josie? Does it feel good?
Yeah? I know, I feel so dirty.
I understand it's very, very exciting getting a correct challenge this early on, Josie. So you get the subject of whodunit. 42 seconds are available to you and your time starts now.
There was a storm blowing over the roof of the manor house. In the library, there lay Colonel Mustard, struck upon the head with a piece of lead pipe. Whodunit? Miss Marple decided to gather all the people into the ballroom, for there were many of them, 147 suspects, and she was going to speak to each and every one of them. First of all was Lily Mantry, the maid who'd been downstairs. Someone said that she was having an affair, but with whom? No one knew. Whodunit? That's what they all wanted to know. Suddenly, Miss Scarlet...
You finished that with great aplomb, and I sense, had time not been an issue, we would have heard from all 147. All immaculately characterised. I really enjoyed that. Well done. Speaking as the whistle went, you get the point, and you get the next subject. Unexpected item in the bagging area.
God.
Can you speak for a whole minute? I know I can, on the topic of... Unexpected item in the bagging area. Your time starts now.
Well, it's absolutely terrible. I'm a technophobe and always queue for a human behind the counter. But on one occasion, a few months ago, I...
Felicity.
A hesitation?
Well, slightly... It's hard to argue with an isn't it?
Yeah, no.
You have a subject, and the subject is unexpected item in the bagging area. Your time starts now.
I don't know how many times I need to hear the phrase unexpected item in the baggage area. I would consider myself an excellent person at the shops. I'm organised, I'm in line, I have all of my items ready to go in the weight that they should go and...
Ivo, you hit the buzzer first.
I believe repetition of the word go.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. A small word, but if it's hard and fast upon one another, we must give it to you. So 33 seconds, a correct challenge, and you get the subject unexpected item in the bagging area, and your time starts now.
I don't like having unexpected items in the bagging area, but I find an equally frustrating problem is when expected items in the bagging area are not recognised due to their small size and weight, e.g. a very thin packet of parsley or sage. I shake my fist towards the criminal herb as I beg someone to come over and help me and ensure that it is recognised as a legitimate product and not just some air that I'm trying to swipe through with me.
Well, you absolutely fairly smashed that, speaking as the whistle went, and such a new player of the game. Really well done. Felicity, ooh, the perfect dessert. 60 seconds or thereabouts on the perfect dessert, and your time starts now.
The perfect dessert is a very difficult subject because there are so many that I like. I absolutely love a standard New York baked cheesecake. I don't want any coulis on it, raspberry, a compote. I'm not interested. The only thing I want is just as it is. However, I also love a crema catalana, which is like a creme brulee.
Ooh, Ivo.
No.
Oh, no, sorry. Yep, I see what I've done, and what I've done was wrong.
Well.
Well, I thought I was buzzing the repetition of creme, but actually the first creme was a crema.
It's a crema.
And I've got egg on my face.
Not at all. But preemptive and not quite right. You get to keep the subject, Felicity, 32 seconds. Perfect dessert, starting now.
What it has inside is a slight orangey taste, and it came with an empanada on the side, which I have eaten in Chile, which is in South America. They have great pastries, but terrible bread. You will be, unfortunately, something... Oh, damn it!
Ivo, you challenged.
There was a lot of hesitation.
Yes, correct challenge. So you get the subject, which, to remind you, is the perfect dessert. You've got 17 seconds to opine on this, and your time starts now.
I was once verbally abused on a podcast for saying that my favourite dessert is banana cut up into Yo Valley yoghurt. But I stand by that opinion. It is a sentimental choice because it is my father's favourite dessert. Occasionally, we will vary the Yo Valley yoghurt and...
Josie, before you say what it is, can I just say we've said that yoghurt brand twice, and for you to repeat it a third time might push us into dangerous territory, but yeah. So I'd love to hear your challenge.
You said something that sounded similar to Ho Bally Uggut.
Josie, it's a correct challenge, which means you get the perfect dessert with 0.5 seconds remaining.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't even get to plug Bird's Custard.
The time starts now.
Bird's Custard!
Excellent work. Well, that was the end of that round. Let's have some scores. In third place, we've got Paul. Just ahead of Paul, we've got Ivo. And joint in the lead, we have Felicity and Josie. Paul, we return to you, and the subject is guards. Seize them! You speak without hesitating, repeating or deviating on guards. Seize them! Your time starts now.
Guards, seize them, I suppose, is recognised as a very cliched piece of dialogue. I understand it goes back several hundred years, well, at least two. And I saw it in a play once that was staged at the Old Vic. And one of the actors said to the others, he said, "Sa-cha-cha-va," which, of course, is...
Explicit.
It was a Yugoslavian piece.
Yeah. I think you're going to get the opportunity, I think, to defend your position here.
Oh, really?
So the challenge, Felicity.
Well, he could actually be speaking another language and I'm just being a little bit racist. I don't know, a hesitation.
Paul, I'm just going to ask you to repeat exactly what you said there.
That was the Matinee performance. No, it wasn't hesitation, it was deviation.
Deviation.
I didn't hesitate.
You deviated from the English language.
That's the one.
Well, we do allow deviation from the English language.
Exactly.
There are many other rich, beautiful languages. It's a pleasure to hear.
Yeah.
We haven't gone down that road just yet.
Well, it's deviation from the phrase, guard seize them.
I mean, thank you for getting yourself out.
Paul is now instructing you on what to say. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this.
Yeah, it's a great challenge. So well done.
Oh, really? Outrageous.
You're the author of your own demise, Paul. 45 seconds, I'm going to give it to you, Felicity, to tell us. Guards, seize them! Your time starts now.
Guards, seize them! Is usually what is yelled in a castle when knights or their command.
Paul, you've challenged?
Well, I didn't expect to get this back quite so quickly, but kind of hesitation.
Yeah, it was, I'll give you that. 37 seconds, Paul. I can't wait to hear what you've got to say on guard seize them, starting now.
Ronnie Biggs escaped from Wandsworth Prison in the 1960s and the prison guards were...
Ivo.
A prison?
Yes, it was a repetition of
prison. Oh, yes, of course it was. Yeah.
He escaped from prison and the prison guards.
Absolutely.
You get the subject, still ongoing. guard guard sees them, and your time, Ivo, starts now. Paul.
There was a bit of a passage of time, but...
Yeah, I mean, Ivo's a very, very new player of the game, so we can't hold him to the same frenetic account. But yes, normally if there's even a hair's breadth between me saying go and you starting, then it's fair game. But on this occasion, I'm going to go with you, Ivo. You've still got the subject. There's 32 seconds remaining. Let's try and get out of here alive, shall we? And your time starts now.
Guards, seize them, shouted the staff of my local Sainsbury's as me and my friends attempted to escape the building with some herbs which we had not paid for.
Paul.
Well, this is just more advertising. First we've had a yoghurt, now we're having a leading supermarket chain.
I think I'm going to give you a point for that, Paul. It's important to remember that there are so many other supermarket brands
to be made that you can shoplift from.
If you're an essentially a herb-based thief.
Yeah.
Which I do. Going to give the subject back to you. 21 seconds on this seemingly never-ending subject of... God, seize them! And your time starts now.
Me, I'm telling this story set in a supermarket, and I'll tell you...
Josie.
He said supermarket before.
I can't wait for this one to be over today.
Well, it's with Josie now, so let's hope in her loving hands we could be delivered to the point of the whistle without any further ado. 16 seconds. Josie, your time starts now.
Guards, seize them. Oh, the word seize, it's such a violent-sounding thing. To snatch, to grab, get...
Paul.
Well, there were two twos right after, you know.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, it's only a little word.
I know it's a
yes.
little.
Yes. And you said it more than once.
I know, but normally it's very hard when they're together like that. I feel I have to make a judgment. So I'm going to give Paul the point. It's a correct challenge, but I am going to ask that Josie carries on because I believe she's the only one that can bring this subject. Really, the only person I believe that can do it now. God sees them! Make it stop, Josie. 9 seconds starting now.
Well, there was a pigeon wearing a rucksack full of crack, and apparently the prison guards shouted, guards, seize them. That's a true...
So many supplementary questions regarding that, Josie. The pigeon and crack and the rucksack, but we'll come to that. Maybe there'll be a red button discussion group for those affected by that. And Josie, we're with you again. So, revolving restaurants is your subject. Revolving restaurants. 60 seconds, please, on revolving restaurants, and your time starts now.
Revolving restaurants do exactly what they say on the tin. They're revolving restaurants, usually built on a very high erection, and underneath them a small steel plate that makes it rotate. The diners therefore appreciate a panoramic view as the revolving restaurant turns. Now, there are many revolving restaurants in the world. We did have one at the British Telecom Tower, but sadly, it is no more. I don't think I'd like a revolving restaurant because I suffer a little bit from vertigo. If I did go to a revolving restaurant, I'd want it to be a little detached one, maybe a fish and chip shop or a cafe on a sort of huge lazy Susan with a little dial button on the table so you could turn up the rotates. I would take a boyfriend.
Ivo, challenge.
I think there was two littles there. Oh, it doesn't feel good.
No, it's good, it's good. I'm proud of you, son.
Two littles. I didn't hear it.
Can I resolve the quandary by saying that I don't feel certain enough of that?
I'm going to give you
loving Josie talking about revolving restaurants, and I'd like to hear a bit more of it, please.
What I'm going to do in the interests of balance, I'm going to give you a point, Ivo, because potentially your challenge is correct. But, Josie, you spoke for 55 seconds, and I would like to hear you complete the next 5 seconds. Your time on revolving restaurants starts now.
I don't really like revolving restaurants. Rather, what I...
Paul.
Well, we had like before. I don't like...
We did definitely have like before.
Oh,
we did definitely.
No!
We did. Like before. We did. And with 1 second remaining, Paul... That's the show, folks!
God sees him!
Paul, bring it home. 1 second, please, starting now.
Revolving restaurant.
Right, Ivo, let's see what we've got in store for you next. Ah, well, you don't keep this one under wraps. This is TOG ratings. Vital. Can you speak about TOG ratings for 1 minute, please? Your time starts now.
As winter turns to spring, we'll all be worrying about our TOGs. It's surely one of the most strange units of measurement in the business. And ultimately, if you've got the same thickness duvet all year round, that's probably fine. However, if you are able to manage your TOGs on a seasonal basis, then what a life you lead. I once heard someone asking about the TOG rating system in their yurt in the luxury camping of a music festival. That's when you know you're not doing that particular activity with the authenticity that would be expected of you. TOG ratings ultimately are a preserve of the middle and upper class. It's something to worry about if you don't have any other concerns in your life, and best of luck to you. But sometimes I just sleep under a sheet, and that's fine too.
Felicity.
You did say probably fine at the beginning and then you said fine again.
It was a repetition of fine. And for such a new player to the game, you spoke for 56 seconds. Which means you will smash that threshold imminently, my friend. 4 seconds, it was a correct challenge by Felicity. You get the topic, which is TOG ratings. 4 seconds starting now.
I had never heard of TOG rating until I had a baby and I...
You were speaking as a whistle, went Felicity, you get the point, but you also get the next topic, which is there a doctor in the house?
Oh.
Oh, no, there wasn't a real question, sorry. Somebody actually just sort of put their hand up there. We're all OK. I mean, there was a while ago when we were doing Guard Sees Them where I thought I was having an aneurysm. But apart from that, we're all right. Is there a doctor in the house? 60 seconds, please, starting now.
Is there a doctor in the house is the phrase you don't want to hear on an aeroplane. The year was 2019. I was heading to Australia with my husband and my 9-week-old baby. When we landed, it was Christmas Eve. Earlier, we had heard the phrase, is there a doctor on board? Someone was and headed towards the air hostess.
And that's a buzz from Josie.
Oh, hesitation.
Yeah. The air hostess had an extremely long vowel sound.
I'm Australian. It's an affectation of the part of the country I'm from.
Beautifully done, though. 25 seconds. Very, very nice. Josie, correct challenge. You get the subject of Is There a Doctor in the House? And your time starts now.
I may be paraphrasing a bit, but I'm sure Giles told a wonderful story about Sir Ralph Richardson, who was in a play on stage and he suddenly stopped what was happening and said, Is there a doctor in the house? And someone stood up and said, Yes, sir. And he went, Terrible, isn't it? The play. And then carried on acting. So I'm sure it's true. I'd love it to be true. I forget I'm doing this and just like chatting.
That's
it's
when
it's a good story, isn't it?
Felicity, your challenge.
It was a repetition. It was two truths.
Yeah. Indeed, two truths. So you get the subject back. 10 seconds, please, on Is There a Doctor in the House, starting now.
So, unfortunately, it was about an hour before we had landed and the doctor was called and then it got more serious and curtains...
Whistle sounded just a nanosecond before Paul buzzed, which means, Felicity, you were speaking as the whistle went, and that brings us to the end of this round. Let's check out some scores. In joint third place, we've got Ivo and Paul. Second place, we've got Josie. And leading the way at the end of the second round, we've got Felicity. Oh. Paul, yes. You are going to kick us off in this round. Your subject is keeping up appearances. Can you speak for 60 seconds, please, on that subject? Keeping up appearances, and your time starts
now?
Well, it was a very popular sitcom on the British Broadcasting Corporation's television service, starring Dame Patricia Rutledge. I'm ashamed to say that I never actually watched it. Written by Roy Clark, who's an extremely prolific writer of sitcoms, it was a very popular series indeed, ran for several years, and the whole idea of it was that Hyacinth Bouquet, that was her name, although it was spelt Bucket, was somebody who was part of the English middle class who pretended that she was upper class. Oh,
32 seconds and you're buzzed by Josie.
Repetition of class.
Yes, that's the correct challenge. You get the subject now. Keeping up appearances, and your time starts 32 seconds of it now.
When I lived for a small time in Cheltenham in a wonderful street, there was an adorable woman who used to say, it's...
Sorry, did you say when you lived in a small town in Cheltenham?
When I lived in Cheltenham in an adorable street.
Yes.
No, I've completely misheard.
No, yeah, no. She just lived in Cheltenham in an...
Can I do my best to convince everybody that she did say that?
I mean, yes, if you want to.
No.
If you want to.
I might have done. I believe anything that's told to me nowadays.
No, clearly you didn't. I do apologise. I've completely misheard.
Incorrect challenge from Paul means you keep the subject, Josie, and you've got 25 seconds on the clock and your time starts now.
This lady was called Audrey O'Nion, but that wasn't really her...
Felicity.
There was a little hesitation.
There was.
A creeping bit of hesitation there, I'll give you that. 19 seconds, keeping up appearances, time starts now.
Every time I try to think of a classical piece of music, the only thing I can think of is the tune from Keeping Up Appearances.
Paul.
Think twice.
Yeah.
Every time I think.
Think.
Correct challenge, Paul. 13 seconds to get your subject back. Keeping up appearances. Your time starts now.
I was sharing a cell with Ronnie Biggs at Wandsworth Prison when he said to me, I'm going over the wall tonight. I said, well, you'll have to put a tie on then because you can't be expected to be chased by the police if you're wearing an open-neck shirt. He said, that's a good point, mate. And he headed towards Brazil and finally ended up in Rio de Janeiro.
I liked heading towards Brazil.
Yeah. Come out of Wandsworth Prison and turn left.
Speaking as the whistle went, you get the point. Well done, Paul. And Josie, we are with you next, and we're with a broadcasting legend, in fact. Ken Bruce. Yeah, the wonderful Ken Bruce. Can you speak on the subject, please? For 60 seconds, your time starts now.
I live alone, but my kitchen is always full mid-morning with the melodious voice of Ken Bruce, that gorgeous Glaswegian lilt. I'm going to miss him, you know, but soon I'll be listening to him on Greatest Hits Radio. What have I said?
Felicity, you challenged.
My challenge was, how dare you on the BBC? How dare you talk about Greatest Hits?
Well, listen, I think it's a broad church. We must allow that. It's factually correct. So, under the rules of just a minute, I'm minded to keep Josie with the subject, talking about Ken Bruce for 39 seconds, starting now.
May I just point out, in case I don't work again, that I do adore the British Broadcasting Corporation as well. Ken Bruce, he's like a friend of mine that I've never met, just heard him. And I especially love the love song at 10:15. I sit and have a cup of tea, and I'm not bitter about the fact that I haven't got anyone in my life at all. Then there's the famous quiz, Pop Master. I never answer any question because I don't know any of the
answers. Repetition of any.
Yep. Oh, it's true.
Yeah, it's true. Conjure up quite the picture. I love the fact we're all reduced to begging for our jobs when there's a mention of a rival broadcaster. did brilliantly there, Josie, but
cheers,
buzzed
mate.
Correctly by Paul there with 5 seconds remaining. On the wonderful, the magnificent Ken Bruce. Your time, Paul, starts now.
Some people are blessed with radio voices, and Ken Bruce is one of those. He speaks...
Final round. We're entering the final round, sadly. It was a real mixed bag of emotions there. One person leapt from their seat. But anyway, Ivo, we are with you. Have you ever had one of these? The subject, my nightmare train journey. Well, let's hear what you've got to say on it. You've got 60 fulsome seconds and your time starts now.
As a stand-up comedian travelling around the country, I am no stranger to a nightmare train journey. Just yesterday, I was travelling to Cambridge on a Great Northern train when we got those three dreaded words, terminated at Royston. There were troubles further down the track, and we did not receive any information as to whether it was best to get on the replacement bus or the taxis that were apparently going to be provided at a juncture shortly after our departure from the train. I went to the British Raj Curry House opposite the station and ate three extremely sad poppadoms before returning to the replacement bus and...
Oh, no!
If only there was a replacement word! Paul!
Unfortunately, repetition of replacement.
Yeah,
you were going gangbusters there. But yes, a correct challenge, Paul. You've got 16 seconds on my nightmare train journey, starting now.
There's a film made in the 1960s called Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, which features several stories. All these passengers are stuck on a train which seems to be in the middle of the nowhere. A deep fog.
Felicity.
In the middle of the nowhere?
Yeah.
That's a repetition of the word the.
OK. As long as we've established the ground rule on that one.
This could be a very, very dangerous precedent that you're setting, so I would say.
The middle of the nowhere?
Well, you could have had deviation and then Paul could have perhaps said that the nowhere was just outside, I don't know, Solihull. But it's a technically a correct challenge, so you get a point. But I don't wish to encourage the buzzing on short words like that, so Paul will keep the subject even though you get a point for a correct challenge. 5 seconds on my nightmare train journey. Your time starts now.
Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee, Roy Castle, Kenny Lynch are just some of the actors... They are all in Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
I really want to see that now.
It's good.
It's really good. Right, wonderful stuff. Well, as that round comes to a close, it's time to deliver unto you the scores. And it was a tightly fought contest, this one, and everybody played well. Narrowly in fourth place, our brave newcomer today, Ivo. Just ahead of Ivo, we've got Josie. Just ahead of Josie is Felicity. And just ahead, and the winner of tonight's show, Mr. Paul Merton. And there, my darlings, I'm afraid we do have to leave you. But first of all, I'd like to give my unvarnished thanks to our delightful players of the game today. Because normally I varnish them heavily, as you know. Heavily lacquered. Paul Merton, Josie Lawrence, Ivo Graham and Felicity Ward. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this show. And of course, to our beloved friend Nicholas Parsons, who chaired Just a Minute for over 50 glorious years. And we miss him. We also thank Caroline Barlow, who's been in my left ear all blowing her whistle with great aplomb. The producer was Rajiv Karia, and this was a BBC Studios production. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks ever so for joining us. And please do listen in again the next time we play Just a Minute. Thank you.